We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the ninth man. The ninth man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxson.
That old man, is that Voss?
Yeah. His name is Willy. You like him.
But he's a queer. Look at him. He's wearing makeup.
That doesn't mean he's queer. Keep your voice down. I don't want him to hear that kind of talk.
Edward, how are you? Sit down. Sit down, both of you. My, you look splendid this evening, Edward. Where did you get that suit, huh?
In Florida. They sell good clothes there. Really, I want you to meet my business associate, Bill Thomas. Bill, my old friend, Wilhelm Voss.
Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Any friend of Edward's is welcome.
Oh, please, sit.
Really, my name is Kelly. You recall that, of course.
Yeah, of course. May I order sherry for you?
I would rather have a beer, if you don't mind.
Of course not. Why should I mind? This is a celebration. Waiter, please, over here.
Curling sat back and watched while Foss rattled off the order. Teal was right. His old friend was wearing makeup. Not much. Just a faint dusting of powder along the cheeks and temples. A touch of rouge. A modest trace of foundation cream to disguise the puffiness around the eyes. The end result was mildly successful. Foss looked better this evening than he had on Sunday morning. Not just his face, but his whole demeanor. Gray hair carefully in place, combed and oiled. Brown suit immaculate. A handsome striped tie nestled under the wings of his shirt collar. This was more like the Billy Foss of old. The successful doctor. The sophisticated gentleman. Curling felt a stirring of rekindled friendship.
Tell me, Willy, have you heard anything from our friends in Chicago?
Friends in Chicago? You mean... Or the telegram? No, nothing. Not yet.
It's been 2 days. That seems strange. Are you sure...
I have been right by the telephone. No word at all. But I do have another letter from Washington. Came this afternoon. Here it is. It's postmarked Washington.
Who do we know in Washington?
I'll tell you in a moment. Wonderful. Wonderful. We are not too late after all.
Who's it from?
One of our people. Kappa warned me before we left that something like this might happen. We are to hold our positions until he summons us.
Summons us? For what?
I don't know. anything about him. All I do know, you hear from us to make sure everything is all right. Ah. Willie, I want you to do us a favor.
Yeah? What is it?
Take this letter. I want you to write a letter to the name and post office box in this message tonight. Tell him we arrived late, but we are now here and waiting. Tell him we will move the moment he sends word. Can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. Good.
Sign it Edward Kelly. He will know me by that name. And be discreet. Don't let anyone see you when you mail it.
But of course. I will be careful.
Why can't we send a message?
We will be busy. We have to make preparations. Did you arrange the car, Willie?
Yeah, yeah. You can pick it up whenever you wish.
Excellent. When you finish dinner, my friend and I will leave you. Something important is on the verge of happening. We must contact our friends in Chicago.
But please, can't we wait until later before you talk of leaving? It's so nice to have you both here. I have not been out like this for months. It's like a party.
Hell, I knew it. I damn well knew it.
Knew what? What's the matter? Have I said something wrong?
Did anyone follow you here tonight?
Follow me? I don't think so. Why should anyone follow me? Why do you ask?
Don't look up. There is a man behind me. The other side of the room, at a table. Just keep looking at me for a moment or two. Then turn your head slowly. Near the kitchen. Dark, blue suit. Young fellow, wavy hair.
Yes. Yes, I see him. He's reading the menu.
He wasn't reading the menu a moment ago. He was watching us. There was another man with him. Big man, broad shoulders. He went up front to the payphone. You see him?
No. No, I don't see him.
He was there a moment ago. I definitely saw him. Come on, let's get out of here.
Relax. It doesn't mean a thing. Why should it?
Relax? A man stares across the room at us and you say relax? Have you forgotten who we are?
I know full well who we are. But no one else does. Believe me. No one has any reason to follow Willie, nor to stare at us more than at anyone else. No one knows anything about us. Now you're upsetting Willie, too. Don't worry, Willie, it's nothing.
I'm not worried.
Look, he's back. The one who went out to the telephone.
Stop it, will you? Believe me, we're absolutely safe. Now sit back and enjoy yourself. Let's order dinner. A couple of bottles of good wine. Yeah, where's that waiter? I'm famished.
An hour later, shortly after Curling and Teal shook hands with Wilhelm Voss and left the restaurant, they were surrounded and placed under arrest by six FBI agents. Teal groaned and surrendered without a word. Edward Curling, stunned by the sudden appearance of the FBI man, resisted briefly and was subdued only after one of the agents hit him and knocked him against the side of the building. So quickly. No one in the restaurant noticed the scuffle on the sidewalk. When Wilhelm Voss came out 5 minutes later, the street was clear. He adjusted his suit coat and pulled on a pair of slim, brown, kitskin gloves. He was allowed to depart uncontested. But two men, one with wavy hair and one with broad shoulders, came out a moment later and followed him, continuing their surveillance. still blissfully unaware of a great deal that had been going on, I continued to go on my own quiet way. On Wednesday, June 24th, I was sifting through piles of clothing down at the police station. It was then the 12th day after the landing. All new. Every damned item. Some of it still in boxes with the sales slips. And they're all dated last week after the submarine landing. No old clothing, none at all. It's just as though this man Frank Daniels, late of Mrs. Fikini's rooming house, never existed before he moved in.
Whew. It's as hot as Hades in here. Lieutenant Savage just called. He's got that money in his office now.
Mm-hmm.
You can come back up and take a look at it when you're finished here.
Good. Well, tell him I'll be ready in a few minutes.
Okay. These are for you, too. The papers we found and an artist's sketchbook.
Oh, thanks.
The guy was apparently an artist of some kind. Remember, you can't take any of this stuff out of the property room, huh?
Okay.
Oh, gee, it's hot. I'm sorry about the busted fan. Damn thing died of old age a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, can't get replacements these days, you know, the war. Guess we'll have to suffocate for the duration.
Yeah, well, I don't mind. I feel great. Ah, so this is the sketchbook, huh? Ah, he's a country lover. Landscapes, country scenes, a bridge. Yeah, he's got a kind of amateurish flair. Good drawings, but undisciplined. Yeah, you can tell by the bridge. All parallel lines with no vanishing point. Funny. It's more like an engineer might draw than an artist. Sort of bird's eye view of the countryside. Fields, roads, farmhouses, crossroads, carefully sketched in. Oh, there are some figures in the back of this sheet. Sort of algebraic computation. Maybe he was working in perspective.
Yeah, maybe. Art was never one of my strong points. There's some more papers here.
There's
a city map, a couple magazines, cash receipts, etc., etc. Oh, yeah, and a set of railroad timetables.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I'll go tell the lieutenant. You'll be up in a minute.
Yeah, sure. Timetables, pencil notations in the margins. But why mark it like that? The times indicated have nothing to do with the departure and arrival of trains they match. They seem to be somewhere between the two. Primarily on trains running between Philadelphia and Washington. Trains. Philadelphia, Washington. Hell, just recently I was on one of those myself. Can there be a connection? Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to miss one sheet from this sketchbook. Yeah, I can make a few calculations of my own. 224. 470. 432. 550. I was on a train bearing the President and the Prime Minister. Works out to be in Maryland, somewhere between Baltimore and the Pennsylvania border. I can't pinpoint it any closer than that. It could help to know where the notations were made. And I'm just going to jot down a few of these times. 4. I can check up on these at Union Station later. 5, 7, 7, 3. With someone who knows running times a lot better than I do. Yes. Right, that's it. Guess I better get upstairs. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess the wad of money in this manila envelope is just about the most confusing thing about this boarding house killing. Like I said on the phone this morning, a wad almost $20,000 thick hidden in the landlady's flower tin.
Mm-hmm.
We have no reason to think it belonged to the suspect. On the other hand, we spoke to the other tenants, and they were fairly certain it didn't belong to the landlady neither. Apparently she has a notorious reputation for prowling the rooms and picking up anything of value that wasn't nailed down. Seems she had no such ready cash a few days ago when a tax notice on her house fell due.
Uh-huh.
She even raised the rents in an effort to scrape up the money, almost lost the house. Find what you were looking for downstairs?
Yeah, I think so, Lieutenant. Although the guy didn't leave much trace of his life before he moved in, did he?
Nope. That's what makes it so tough on us.
Mm.
We've looked for him. Damn, we've looked just about everywhere. The son of the bitch has flat disappeared.
You got a description?
Oh, we got two or three. He's a tall, dark, average, good-looking guy, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
He might as well be a walking potato, for what good that does. The world's full of tall, dark, average, good-looking people. One of the boarding house people told us he may have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Someone heard the landlady muttering about it. No one recalled seeing it.
You've looked for him, I guess.
Oh, hell yes. We've done the usual, hotels, motels, rooming houses, nothing. Either he's changed his name and appearance, or he's skipped town. Hmm. Why is the White House so interested in this fellow, Captain?
I'm not at liberty to say for the moment. May I have a look at the money?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry about the condition of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to look through. Water soaked or something. My men assure me it was that way when they found it.
Water-soaked?
Yeah, that's what I'd call it. Yeah. Hmm? See what I mean? Warped, wavy to the eye, kind of stiff to the touch.
Yeah.
We think they were dry by the time the landlady stashed them. Otherwise, the flour would have stuck them.
What would cause that?
Beats me. Looks like someone gave the whole bundle a good bath.
Could it be salt water?
Yeah. I guess so. Can't detect it. I don't know how anyone could tell the difference myself. Why do you ask?
Oh, just wondering. Suppose a man carried that kind of money in the surf. Wouldn't that be the result?
You mean go swimming with a roll of bills like this? Well, why the hell would anyone do a thing like that?
Well, it's a possibility. I can't say anything just yet, Lieutenant. We think this man may be part of a group. A group that came ashore from from a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get someone to test the money and see if it's salt water?
Well, I don't know if that's possible. I guess I could check with our labs and see. May take a while. Can I give you a call?
Oh, yeah, thank you. You have my number?
Yeah. White House, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you, Lieutenant. You've been very helpful. Mind with glee when she hears this. It all fits. The new clothes, water-soaked money, the business of notations on the timetables. Coincidence? Perhaps, maybe just here and there, but that many? No, not likely. Hell, morning's almost over. Might as well stay out of the office a while longer and call the FBI from a phone booth undisturbed. At least until I'm absolutely sure that coincidences aren't coincidences.
Can I help you?
This is Lawson again, right?
Yes, Captain. May I help you?
No, I want to speak to the director.
I'm sorry, Captain. Nothing has changed. You'll have to talk to me.
But something has changed. I've got evidence now. You guys are looking in the wrong place. The other four guys are here in Washington.
Captain, I shouldn't be telling you this, but we picked up two of them last night in New York.
What?
So you see, your information source isn't as up to date as you might wish. Nor, I fear, is your evidence.
In New York? Are you sure?
I'm sure, Captain. Furthermore, we have a third under surveillance. We expect him to lead us to the fourth momentarily. Again, not in Washington.
Well, maybe you've miscounted. I mean, isn't that possible? Damn it, one of them is here. I've got the goods on him. So there must be more than eight of them.
Yeah, I see. That's very interesting, Captain.
Listen, I want to talk to the director about this. I'm not just some ordinary citizen calling. I'm a working member of the White House staff, charged with protecting the safety of the President of the United States. I may not be able to influence the director's decision on the matter, but I can damn sure see that he hears about it. I'll go through channels if I have to.
I'll relay your message to him, Captain Blazek. That's all I can promise.
Yeah, well, you do that. You tell him. I'm on my way to my office right now. If he's interested in hearing the details, he can call me and ask for them. I'll wait there for his call. Germans from having landed 9 or 10 or even 11 or more, for that matter. A whole ruddy army. No, the FBI are a pretty sharp outfit. If they say there are 8 men, then there probably are 8 men. One of them is still missing, according to Lawson. Maybe that's it. The 8th man is in Washington, and they are simply looking for him in the wrong place. Maybe in time, if it's not too late, they'll realize their mistake. No, damn it. How can anyone be sure there isn't another? It isn't as if old J. Edgar Hoover could pick up a telephone and call German intelligence and say, "By the way, you didn't happen to send a 9th spy over this time, did you?" I shouldn't have been so forceful about it. What if J. Edgar gets mad? There are those who say that he is the last person on Earth you ever want to get mad at you. Even the President is a safer enemy. Yeah, maybe I should have explained just a little more about why I think there's a spy in Washington, instead of just losing my temper and sounding off on the telephone like a lunatic. And yet, hell, I don't know. Can I really explain my feelings at this stage? No matter how hard I try. Water soaked money. Big deal. Maybe it's that guy Lawson that does it. Makes one feel he's talking to an idiot. Office and sit by the phone just to see what might happen. But somehow, I've got a hunch it's going to be a long wait.
That was The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Mackeson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.